5 texts, and all I've gotten are 2 replies. And even those weren't legit replies because it was the thumbs up emoji. The woman loves her some emojis. I'm in Brooklyn watching the construction crew lay the all-weather footing for the tennis court. The wood floor for the indoor basketball court was installed last week. Only 3 weeks behind schedule. At least this is going well.
Hey, mister, is there going to be a ping pong table in the new rec center?
A kid's voice shouts from the other side of the chain-link fence behind me. Over my shoulder, I spot him. Short, chubby. Come on in, I say, waving him over. Is that even allowed without a parent around? It makes me nervous. The world's gotten too damn complicated. I motion to the security guard to let the kid in. The crime rate in this neighborhood is so high we had to hire one or have equipment and building materials stolen overnight. Once the rec center is finished, the cameras and floodlights were installed and should serve as a beacon of safety. For the kids that can't find any at home, and for the ones that shouldn't be on the streets. That's the goal, at least. The kid climbs up the bleachers we installed this morning, hands shoved into the pockets of his basketball shorts, the ones hanging below his knees. He sits next to me. Dane Wilder. I hold up a fist and he bumps me.
Angel Castro.
That's a lot of pressure, I mumble.
What'd you say?
I said, are you an angel?
My mom says so. She calls me a miracle.
2 seconds into this conversation, and it's already gotten heavy. I don't pursue that line of questioning. Do you know who I am? Angel squints at me.
Should I?
No. What is it you want to know, Angel?
Is this your place? I've seen you here a lot.
No, it's not mine. It belongs to the city, to the people that live in this neighborhood.
I live here.
Angel points to the building on the corner.
Right over there.
Probably not a good idea telling strangers where you live, but I'll let his parents handle the life lessons. I guess it belongs to you too, then.
That's cool,
he says flatly. He doesn't sound too impressed, which pulls a reluctant smile out of me. But I get to make some of the decisions. Eyes downcast, his expression turns thoughtful, sorting out this new information.
Can you decide to get a ping pong table?
You want a ping pong table? Angel's eyes move off to the construction crew. He scratches his elbow, his knee, messes with his hair. He's clearly uncomfortable.
Not all kids are athletic, he mutters quietly.
It sounds like something he heard from an adult, one that loves him. He seems to get over this discomfort pretty quickly, though. When he looks up again, his expression is stoic, chin held high. Attaboy, Angel. This kid makes me smile, even in a crap mood. I think I can arrange for that. Anything else?
Video games,
he says, shining a big, bright smile. Head shaking, I chuckle. Gotta hand it to the kid, he's got moxie. No video games. How about a foosball table?
Okay.
Ping pong and foosball coming right up. I glance briefly at the darkened screen of my cell. No new messages.
You waiting for a phone call?
Angel misses nothing. He may have a career as an investigative journalist in his future. Yep.
From a girlfriend?
I chuckle. That's twice today. I've got Angel to thank for it. How old are you?
I'll be 12 in 3 months.
11 and asking me about a girlfriend. Shoving down the urge to laugh, I say, no. She's a friend, but I think she's mad at me.
Just say you're sorry.
Angel, the lady whisperer, counsels. I snort. Side-eyeing him. What do you know about girls?
I know that if they're mad, you should say they look pretty and say you're sorry.
My smile drops. Angel may be right.
Stella. I've managed to successfully avoid all of Dane's phone calls and most of his texts for 10 whole days. which is easier said than done. What happened at Camilla's still irks me. Not because my feelings are hurt, and they are. It's because of the fragile trust he violated. You don't go around shouting that someone isn't your type, translation, not hot enough to bang, if you value someone's friendship. And yes, I know nothing can happen between us. It goes without saying that it would have disaster written all over it. But still, I'm a woman. I want to believe men find me bangable even when they don't. Feeling on edge and confused about why I'm feeling on edge, I decided to go for a run. As luck would have it, I exit my building at the same time that Dane's silver Escalade pulls up. Our eyes meet. His face has all the telltale signs of a man looking for an argument, and the last thing I want is a big scene on a busy sidewalk in front of my building. He double parks and jumps out. Time for a swift getaway. I start jogging down my street. Not a minute later, Dane is jogging beside me. When it becomes abundantly clear I won't be getting away, I stop and face him, resigned to my fate. He looks like he came straight from a workout, dressed in track pants and a black t-shirt, sweat-soaked, it looks painted on his chest. I stare. It's impossible not to when his nipple is staring right back at me.
Are you avoiding me?
Why would I be avoiding you? His hazel eyes flicker with annoyance and narrow.
Are you mad at me?
Why would I be mad at you? He plants his hands on his hips and levels me with an indignant scowl.
Can you not answer every question with a question?
Of course I can, Dane. I do it all the time. But right now, I'm going for a run. I'll call you later. He steps in my way. Now it's my turn to put my hands on my hips.
Stella.
Amazing how much meaning he can cram into my name. Dane, I echo back with a snarky edge. He rakes his sweaty hair back off his forehead, his expression tortured. Good.
This is about what I said at the barbecue, isn't it?
Why? What did you say?
He wants a confrontation. He gets one. You know what I said.
No, I don't, Dane. Enlighten me.
You're gonna make me say it?
Say what? He sighs loudly and scrapes his hair back again, his broad shoulders slumping.
I didn't mean it.
Realizing his mistake, his face freezes.
I mean, not in the way I said it. Calvin was pushing me and he wouldn't stop.
Didn't mean what? Squinting at a faraway point, jaw locked, he mutters,
"That you're not my type."
Oh, that, I say, feigning casual indifference. His attention quickly slides back to me. Dane, we're raising a child together. Nothing more. I shrug. Why would I care whether I'm your type when you're not mine? That's why I picked you. No chance of me ever developing an attraction. His face goes uncommonly blank. He's usually so animated it's strange to see his features at rest. With that parting shot, I step around him. I have a doctor's appointment tomorrow. Let me know if you change your mind about doing this. I jog away, and when I do, I don't look back. Unfortunately, I also don't feel any better.
Dane. What a disaster. Not only did I not make anything better, I may have made it worse. As soon as I climb back in the car, I call the one man that knows more about women than I do. Jay. Sup, man? The hell? You sleeping?
Yeah. What's up?
It's 6:30. You get 5 kids in a restaurant and then tell me what the appropriate time to sleep is. Solid point. I'm in trouble. A woman? Ain't it always? Except never like this. I've never had to get back in the good graces of a woman. I never had to get a woman, period. I'm usually trying to get rid of them. Hold up, he tells me.
Nyla, we got a problem.
I hear him call out to his wife. I love Nyla, but now is not the time. She's been married to Jermaine since we were all in our early 20s. Nyla's been there through it all, knows more about me than the U.S. government and my family combined. And the woman likes nothing better than to laugh at my expense. Jesus H. Christ, don't tell Nyla.
Why not?
Bro code. His deep, dark, slow chuckle echoes in the cab of my truck.
You get a wife and then talk to me about bro code.
Another reason marriage is never the answer. So there's this woman, a friend, and I may have insulted her in public.
What'd you say?
I said she wasn't my type.
I don't know. Sounds fine to me. Hold up.
A beat later, I hear,
a friend? He said she wasn't his type in front of other people. Okay.
He gets back on the phone. I know because I can hear him breathing.
How many people?
Not that many. Just her mother and her good friends.
Oh, hold on.
He starts murmuring to Nyla again.
Her mother and her good friends.
May God save me from marriage if this is what happens to a man after a dozen years of it.
Dane, you there?
Still here.
Nyla says it doesn't matter if she's only a friend. You hurt her feelings. You gotta throw yourself on the mercy of the court now. Hold on.
I hear more words spoken.
She says don't give her time to get worked up over it, or it may be impossible to fix.
Damn it, that's what I thought. I gave her too much time to stew about it.
Are you sure she's just a friend?
She's more than a friend. I'm just not sure what yet.
Stella. My phone rings in the middle of the night and I scramble to sit up in bed, fumbling around for the phone on my nightstand. When you have someone you love in the armed forces, every late-night phone call feels like a tragedy waiting to happen. Dane's name flashes on the screen and my shoulders sag in relief. Don't ever call me in the middle of the night unless it's an emergency.
Sorry?
He sounds confused. In his defense, he doesn't know what it's like. My brother could be on a mission. If he's injured...
Oh, shit.
He says, interrupting as it sinks in.
I'm sorry, Stella. I didn't think. My brother-in-law is a Navy pilot.
It's okay. I say quietly, as I slide back down under the covers.
Jesus, I keep screwing up with you.
It's okay, Dane.
No, it's not.
Silence ensues. 1 minute passes. Two.
I'm sorry I embarrassed you in front of your friends and family.
His voice is low and soft and filled with remorse. It's fine, I say, even though that's not entirely true.
No, it's not.
He presses.
You still want to do this with me, right? Because I really want to do this with you.
Maybe I'm still half asleep, because I don't understand whatever subtext he's trying to communicate. Yeah.
It's that preppy fucker, isn't it? I know I'm not your type, that's why I said that stupid shit at the barbecue. I didn't mean it, but Cal kept pushing and I couldn't say I wasn't your type. I know your type is that preppy fucker, so I said you weren't mine.
Comes out as one long run-on sentence. What?
Did you get any of it?
He murmurs with a touch of humor. I got preppy fucker, who I assume is Jeff. Then I got that you're not my type because you think Jeff is. Then I got that I'm not your type.
No. That one's wrong.
He says a beat later, his voice hoarse, after which another deafening silence rolls on.
Look, nothing's ever gonna happen between us.
I agree. I wholeheartedly agree.
I don't date women for longer than 3 months, and you'd end up hating me for the rest of our lives.
Right. Right. Good point. Face heating, I sink further under the covers until I'm practically hiding.
I just don't want you to think. What I meant to say is, you're beautiful.
My face instantly goes up in flames. One more compliment and I'll be roasted alive.
Your eyes make me want to go skinny dipping in them.
A bark of laughter comes up. Okay, fine. You're forgiven, Dane.
I am?
I can hear a smile in his voice, which makes me smile too. He has a knack for doing that to me. Yes. Can I get back to sleep now?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm about to hang up when I hear...
Hey, Stell?
Yeah?
Thank you.
For what? He exhales deeply.
For being so cool.
For being so cool? What does that even mean? What the hell does that mean? And why do I feel it in my chest? Night, Dane.
Night.
Chapter 12. Stella. Things cooled considerably in the 4 weeks that followed. Dane turned into a polite stranger overnight. He went with me to every doctor's visit, and there were many of them. An entire protocol needed to be completed pre-IVF, i.e. blood panel, ultrasound, sperm analysis. He was quite proud of himself when the doctor announced his sperm had muscle to them. Then he went ahead and informed the doctor and me not to fret because his swimmers are badass, when the doctor told us not to get discouraged if the first attempt didn't result in a pregnancy. He was supportive and cheerful as ever. Otherwise, he kept his distance. The teasing and taunting stopped. The showing up unannounced stopped. Sadly, I kind of missed it. The irony not lost on me. Having completed my 12 days of fertility medications, the big day is finally here. Egg retrieval day. I will be sedated and the egg suctioned out and combined with Dane's muscular sperm. 5 days from now, the fertilized egg will be implanted back in my uterus. All very sexy.
Hey, shorty.
I open the door to find him with his arms braced overhead, big paws gripping my doorframe, biceps bulging beneath his rumpled blue shirt, and a smile so wide and bright, I feel the need to squint. I'm not short. He cocks his head and raises an eyebrow. This elicits a mandatory eye roll. Fine, compared to you I am, but don't call me that. I have a name.
Yes, ma'am.
The lopsided grin he gives me almost has me smiling back. Almost. What are you wearing? I say this while blatantly running my eyes up and down his inappropriate attire. He runs a hand back and forth over his messy, sun-streaked hair.
Shirt and jeans?
He replies, while looking down at himself like he has to check to see if he remembered to get dressed. With his shirt half-tucked and his just-rolled-out-of-bed hair, he looks like an overgrown frat boy. Closing the door behind me, I lock it and head down the hall to the elevators. You realize we have an appointment with the doctor, right?
Yes, ma'am. We're making baby soup today.
Heaven help me. Dane.
What?
This is serious business, and you're not taking it very seriously. He gives me a small, knowing smile, and his eyes, filled with mischief, crinkle at the sides.
I was just teasing. You seem so nervous, I thought you could use a distraction.
Nervous? I'm not nervous. What makes you think I'm nervous? Looking down between us, he takes my hand, curled into a tight fist, and pries it open. Deep, red welts mark my flattened palm, left by the house keys I was squeezing with a death grip. I suck in a breath when the blood comes rushing back into my hand.
Ouch.
In his gentle hold, Dane rubs the marred flesh with his thumb. The warmth,
The rough calluses rubbing against my palms soothe more than those self-inflicted wounds. They soothe any residual fear. Most importantly, the one telling me that this man is not cut out to be parent material. The comfort turns into an electric current, traveling up my arm and over my scalp. It makes me shiver and want those calluses elsewhere. I try pulling my hand away, but he won't let me, gently tugging back. The elevator doors open and we step inside, my hand still cradled in his.
Dane, you haven't said a word in exactly 15 minutes. My eyes fixed on the small and very quiet woman sitting beside me. You disappoint me. Man, I really tried to be good. I worked out twice as hard. That was stupid. I can feel my knee throbbing as we speak. I took meetings with Fox Sports and the NFL Channel. I went to Brooklyn every other day. I stayed away. It did not go well. It did not go well at all. I don't have an addictive bone in my body. Take football, for instance. The love of my life. I didn't yearn for it once I decided to give it up. What was done, and yet this, shit, this was awful. It was a constant feeling that I'd left something behind, or something was missing, something was wrong. I woke up in a shitty mood every day. I went to sleep in a shitty mood every day, all over this quiet woman sitting next to me. Her undivided attention on the parenting magazine, she slowly flips pages. She hasn't said more than 2 words since I gave her the little hand massage in the hallway. Nothing weird. It's had seen her look so tense and frightened, I didn't like it. I thought Latinas were supposed to be fiery. She drops a sigh as heavy as a hammer, and a smile stretches across my face. Feels good to smile again.
Don't be a total idiot, she says, and flips another page. And I'm half Irish. You would know that if you'd bothered to read the dossier I gave you.
I read her dossier 3 times. Got the damn thing memorized. She doesn't need to know that, though. So, double the trouble, then? Another page flip.
I'm going to pretend this conversation isn't happening. Wilder family?
The nurse standing in the hallway calls, her eyes scanning the busy clinic waiting room. The baby business seems to be booming. That's us, I automatically answer, my hand raised in eager anticipation. Yes, eager. I'm excited to do this. Once I've set my mind on accomplishing something, I go full steam ahead. Stella's dark head whips around and her brow wrinkles. She's scolding me. She gets real cute when she scolds me.
No family, just Donovan Wilder, she corrects, her eyes wide on me.
She doesn't need to know our personal business.
I'd rather not confuse the doctor or set a bad precedent.
Yeah, let's not set a bad precedent with the doctor and allow her to think we're a family. Come on, Wilder Donovan. I get up and offer her a hand. For a second, she hesitates, staring at it as if the fate of the universe hangs in the balance, until something in her pretty little head convinces her to take it. Her touch soft, her skin pale, and for the first time I notice how small and delicate it is, how delicate she is. Delicate things break easily. The nurse motions us forward and we follow her down the hall.
Donovan Wilder. Alphabetical order,
the small female whispers. I stop and look down, her blue-green eyes big in her face. My son's gonna be a hyphenate? She blinks up at me.
Or daughter. Your daughter will have a hyphenated name.
Daughter? I immediately picture a tiny little thing with tears in her big blue-green eyes, and a shudder runs through me. Let's think positive. I get an eye roll. Some muttered words, in Spanish, I think. Then she walks into the office. Inside, the doc, Dr. Elmendorf, A middle-aged woman with a no-bullshit look about her stands and walks around her desk to shake both our hands.
Please have a seat. I wanted to touch base with the two of you. Any lingering questions before we get started?
An image of Stella, big and round, with my baby, pops into my head, and I'm gripped with a surge of fear I haven't felt since my orthopedic surgeon said the words ACL tear 4 years ago. Women die in childbirth. This is a wrinkle I hadn't considered before. I clear my throat, and both women turn their focus on me, watching me expectantly. I want to be sure. I wipe my palms on my jeans. Fuck's sake, I haven't been this nervous since draft night.
Be sure of what, Mr. Wilder? The doc says.
Now they look confused. As you can see, Stella is small. My eyes bounce back and forth between Stella and the doc. Their expressions alter to suspicion. I want to make sure my baby won't.
Won't what?
The silence continues. I'm starting to sweat. Break her, you know, hurt her. There's a good chance the baby will be big as a pony. A snort to my left gets my attention. I do a double take when I find Stella biting on her bottom lip. A tear slips out of the corner of her eye. Are you laughing?
I can't. I just can't.
She barely gets the words out, wheezing between bursts of laughter.
Break me?
She repeats, followed by more laughter. If you weren't so dang tiny, this wouldn't be a problem.
I'm not tiny, Dane. 5'4 is perfectly normal. It's you who's overgrown.
Then she smiles at me, teeth and everything. So damn pretty, she takes my breath away.
No, Mr. Wilder. The female body is remarkably resilient. Miss Donovan will be fine, regardless of the size of the baby. She may need a C-section, but that's completely routine.
The doc's condescending tone puts my mind at ease. I don't give a single shit if she talks to me like I'm a moron as long as she keeps Stella safe. If you say so, Doc. Another muffled burst of laughter comes from my left. Now that that's taken care of, I take a deep, calming breath and clap my hands together. Let's make a baby.
Stella. No, I don't want any company. I say, speaking into my cell as I stare at the non-existent contents of my refrigerator. A lonely, mostly empty peanut butter jar taunts me. Not a single slice of bread anywhere to be found. I should order some takeout. Because even though they say bed rest is encouraged, the numbers on whether it helps adhere the embryo are inconclusive. I'm trying to get some work done. I'm fine. Really. My doorbell rings. My doorbell should never ring unless my doorman has alerted me someone is on the way up. Immediately suspicious, I glance at my cell and see that I, in fact, did not receive a call from the doorman. Mama, I'll call you later. Someone's at the door. Ending the call, I walk to the front door and peer through the door viewer. It's worth explaining that all I see is his chest, and then a wide grin. What are you doing here? I ask the man standing on the other side. He raises both hands, showcasing bags of food from Serafina.
I'm here to play Nurse Ratchet.
He hasn't shown up in weeks, and now he's here. If this isn't the most confusing man on the planet, then I don't know squat. I don't need a nurse. And then it dawns on me. How did you get up here unannounced? There are no women working the door.
Eddie is a fan.
Of course he is. I need to have a talk with Eddie.
The food is getting cold.
Pizza, I grumble.
Yep. Open the door.
As soon as the door swings open, his gaze goes straight to the hair piled up on my head in a messy bun. Then it slides past my ratty Princeton sweatshirt, down my yoga leggings, and lands on my super fluffy Titans socks. The amusement drops right off his face.
You said you aren't a football fan.
One corner of his almond-shaped eyes twitches,
his stubborn chin lifting in sanctimonious disapproval. Oh, brother. I'm not, I say, as I force back a smile at his expense. But if I knew torturing you was going to be this much fun, I would have worn these the day we met. Shoes off. Arms loaded with bags of food, he toes off his motorcycle boots without losing balance for a second. Even though his athleticism was never in question, it's amazing to witness firsthand. With all the running and yoga I do, I still don't have a tenth of his natural ability. Grabbing one of the bags of food from him, I head to the kitchen. Without prompting, Dane trails after me.
What's with the socks? This amounts to treason in my book.
I place the bag on the counter and begin opening takeout boxes, the aroma of food making me giddy with delight. Let's not get dramatic. I grab a couple of dishes out of the cupboard. Camilla gave them as stocking stuffers.
I'll get you a pair of gladiator ones. I'll get you a dozen.
Knock yourself out, I say, loading a plate with pasta and handing it to him. The pasta smells out of this world good. Practically drooling, I start on mine.
I can't have my family walking around with Titan's shoes stuff on.
At the mention of family, my breath hitches and my movements slow. We're not a family, Dane. A tan hand comes to rest on the counter next to my dish. I stop what I'm doing and look up to discover an expression on his face that is not only determined, but very serious for once. He studies me quietly for an amount of time long enough to make me uncomfortable. The intensity of his gaze has always thrown me off a little.
You're carrying my child. That makes us family. Whether you like it or not, Shorty.
His voice is gentle, but the force behind it brooks no argument. We don't know if I'm pregnant.
Let's think positive. And you need to lie down. Doctor's orders.
There's no real data supporting...
The doctor said you should lie down.
He says, talking over me.
You want to do something to jeopardize this baby?
Sigh. I'm not going to argue over semantics. One of the things I've learned to appreciate about him is the transparency of his thoughts. I seldom have to guess what Dane is thinking or feeling because his face tells me. And right now, I can tell by the look on his face he's ready to argue to his last breath over this. Fine. But I don't like to eat in bed. He replies with a smug grin. No surprise. Leading Dane to my bedroom feels weird. Weirdly intimate. I pause at the threshold. He takes one look at the bed I speak of and gasps.
A California king?
Everybody's got a fetish. Mine is oversized luxury mattresses. No doubt this stems from the lumpy twin I grew up sleeping in. A shrink would have a field day with this, among other things, which is why I've never seen one. I like big beds, I mutter as I lie down, propped up by a stuffed headboard and a mountain of pillows piled up behind me.
Marry me?
No.
Glad we got that out of the way. Hand me the remote.
Placing his dish down on the side table, he gets into bed. Legs spread apart to accommodate the size of his ego. Once he's made himself comfortable, he grabs his dish and starts eating. You have two choices, I tell him. Housewives of Atlanta or the Food Network. He stops chewing his pasta to give me a dirty look. Housewives it is. 20 minutes later, I'm working on my laptop and he's talking to the television. This is unequivocally the chattiest man I've ever met. The housewives thing didn't work out when he started asking way too many questions.
That's bullshit, coach, and you know it,
he grumbles. Glancing up, I'm not surprised to find ESPN on my television. My gaze moves sideways to take a long look at the man making himself at home in my bed. It's comfortable having him here. Which is strange because I haven't had a man here in a long time. In the last few years, there have been a couple of unremarkable first dates and one uneventful one-night stand
due to some questionable judgment on my part at an industry event. Other than that, my dating life has been non-existent. I could blame the ridiculous hours I work. I legitimately could. But the truth is, it was easier to let time get away than it was to put in the effort it takes to get another person to like me. Especially since dating in this city is an Olympic-caliber competition. New York runs a surplus of beautiful, accomplished women year in and year out. The men who live here have had it way too good for way too long. They expect you to be all things. Charming, successful, independently wealthy, sexually experienced but not too experienced, all wrapped up in a Victoria's Secret body. It's exhausting. And since I'm none of those things naturally, the Victoria's Secret body doesn't even warrant a discussion, it takes colossal effort on my part to get noticed at all. Effort I'm not willing to put in. The problem with being single is that it's easy. Turning on his side, Dane faces me while his eyes remain on the television. He plumps the pillow under his head before he settles in. My attention lingers on the curve of his massive bicep, how the tan fades on the delicate skin under his arm. Two freckles play peekaboo. He smells good. The scent subtle and clean. It kickstarts a slow, creeping warmth. Next comes a familiar stirring in my nether region. This cannot be happening. Crap, I'm sweating. Sweating from embarrassment. I'm the one that railed against such behavior, and yet here I am, behaving badly. God help me if he notices. It's the hormone treatments. Of course it is. That's the reason for my body going haywire. Not the testosterone he's emitting, or the pheromones, or whatever it is he's got going on. Do you miss it? I'm grasping at straws, anything to distract myself. His large, expressive eyes lift to mine in question. Playing? He turns onto his back, arms up, and stretches. His shirt rides up, exposing a trail of dark blonde hair and a carved abdomen. He strokes it in slow, lazy movements. No, 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 don't do that! I'm screaming on the inside, so panicked by my reaction that I actually contemplate pulling his shirt down.
I do, but not the way most players do.
My eyes subtly return to his face. They need to stay there for safety reasons.
Most players miss the guys, the camaraderie. I miss those things too, but mostly I miss the work. The grind.
His lashes throw shadows, his jaw sharp even under the scruff. He really is the most handsome man I've ever seen.
Empirically speaking, that is. Most players have families waiting on them at home. I didn't. The grind was everything to me.
I get it, I reply, nodding. His eyes lift up to meet me. My career is everything to me, too. I can't imagine my life without it. What do you think you'll do now?
Haven't you heard? I'm having a baby,
he says with the sweetest smile. That can't be enough. Not for someone like you.
What does that mean?
He asks, his voice carrying a good amount of apprehension. He thinks it's a criticism when it's actually a compliment. Dane is full of life, vital in a way I've never witnessed before. You're smart. You have a lot of energy. Some people are happy to slow down and just be. I can't see you doing that. You're a man that needs goals, a purpose. He studies me thoughtfully. Then his gaze drifts to the ceiling.
ESPN made me an offer.
By the tone of his voice, I can safely assume he's not thrilled with the idea. You don't sound excited about it.
I'm not sure yet.
Why did you retire? His open gaze returns to me,
glides from feature to feature on my face.
My body couldn't take it anymore. The healing took longer and longer until I was playing injured all the time. And I wanted to go out on top. Not get traded to a team with a losing record looking for an experienced set of hands to babysit their rookie quarterback. So I hit my number and hung up the pads.
What number? I murmur, all my attention on the cleft of his chin, on the missing, burnished gold scruff where he must have had stitches at one time, on the sound of his deep, raspy voice.
Most touchdown catches for a tight end in NFL history.
There's a subtle poke of amusement in his voice that forces my eyes back to his. Is that a big deal? I sink down lower into the pillows, closer. Intimate talks in bed have never been my thing. And yet I'm enjoying this.
In my world it is.
A soft smile tips up the corners of his sensual mouth. Are you okay with it? Being away from the game? The spark in his eyes tugs at me, keeping me present in the moment while the charge between us gains strength with each beat of silence that passes. He exhales softly, and it reaches inside of me, filling up some empty corner I hadn't noticed was empty until this very minute.
I am now.
Chapter 13. Stella. I'm getting comfortable on my uncomfortable designer couch with a slice of pizza when my cell phone rings.
Let's go shopping,
he says the second I answer. No greeting, no waiting for me to greet him. Knowing Dane pretty well by now, it's not a suggestion nor a question. I smile. In small increments, small enough that I barely noticed until it was too late, he's managed to shoehorn himself into my life to the point that now I'm the one smiling way too often. This is all kinds of wrong. How do you know I'm not busy? It's Friday, late afternoon. I'm never busy on Friday afternoons. During the summer, most financial firms close early, a little after four, since most people in finance stampede in droves to the Hamptons. Translation: I'm on my couch. Something spooked him the other day. I know I was spooked. The moment we shared was way too intense and intimate and completely inappropriate, which is probably the reason he suddenly left afterward, muttering something about needing to work out. A workout? After a huge meal? I didn't argue. He seemed intent on leaving, and feeling off balance myself, I was relieved to see him go.
Are you?
No.
Let's go shopping.
A little premature, don't you think?
We're having a baby. Maybe not right away, but we're having one.
I have to admit his infectious enthusiasm for this non-existent baby has been infecting me slowly. It's so easy to be swept away by Dane's optimism. Easy and dangerous. I thought it was bad luck. Buying baby stuff beforehand.
Is that a Cuban thing? Because I'm pretty sure my sister was all set up before she had her first kid.
No, it's not a Cuban thing. It's a me thing. I don't want to jinx it.
I'll be at your place in 20 minutes.
Exactly 20 minutes later, my doorbell rings. Freaking Eddie. He puts the fanatic in fan. I explained to him three times that I don't care if the President of the United States shows up. He needs to ring me. That's when he assured me that he would never just let the President up. Needless to say, the conversation did not go as planned. I opened the door to a man staring inquisitively at me.
Why are you not ready? I'm double parked.
Have we been married 50 years and I somehow missed it? A frown mars his model-worthy good looks. You were supposed to be announced. Give me a minute to get my bag and glasses. I leave him standing at the door while I retrieve said items and slip on my flip-flops. As soon as I return,
He grabs my wrist and hustles me out of my apartment. "What are you doing?" I ask the man, dragging me down the hallway.
"Not giving you time to argue, Shorty. Let's go."
Soon after, he's hustling me into one of those mega baby stores.
"I've never had to beg a woman to shop,"
he says, as he pushes a massive cart down a double wide aisle.
"What's your deal? I thought chicks love to spend money."
"Not this chick," I inform him, while I examine the obscenely large cart. It's as big as a forklift. Nobody needs that much stuff.
"Go big or go home."
"I'll go home, thank you very much." He stops then and stares at something on the shelf.
"Darling, what about this? Do we need..."
He squints at the picture on the box. From where I stand, I can see he's holding a breast pump.
"What is this?"
he says, looking at me with an expression of pure terror. "It's a breast pump. It pumps milk from my breasts so it can be refrigerated and the baby fed while I'm at work. Or with you."
"Right. When the baby is with me,"
he repeats, a soft, dreamy look on his face. "And please don't call me darling.
I'm not your darling or your sweetheart. I'm the mother of your child."
His focus swiftly returns to me. There's mischief on his face, a look I've come to know well by now.
"You want me to call you mother?"
His lips quiver as he fights to hold back what is surely another of his wicked grins.
"Kinky, but I like it."
While we're on opposite sides of the aisle, a young woman walks between us, a pregnant one. Her eyes glide up and down Dane's body. She smiles suggestively. If I hadn't seen it with my own eyes, I wouldn't believe it. But I did. The second she passes, our eyes meet across the way, his expression perfectly blank. Head shaking, I walk down the next aisle.
"I could call you Mother of Dragons. That won't be too far from the truth."
He throws a heavy arm around my neck. I try to pull away, but he won't let me.
"No doubt any kid of mine is going to be a hellraiser."
The last part he mutters, not low enough for me to miss it, however. "That better be one of your jokes."
"Afraid not."
"I bet your mother has some stories to tell," I casually throw out, my attention suddenly taken with the variety of car seats available. When I don't get a snappy comeback, the silence compels me to glance up. All traces of humor gone, his face oddly still. This is a man that is never, ever still, so this is cause for concern. And then I remember. "Sorry."
"It's okay."
He lets me go to investigate something on the next shelf.
"I stopped giving a shit a long time ago."
His eyes remain on the display case of baby carriers, avoiding mine.
"Do we need this?"
It's crystal clear that he's not even remotely past it, however. I don't contradict him. I'll let him keep his illusion. It's not my place to pick at scabs. It's also not the first time he's used the we pronoun. There's something so wrong and yet so cute about it. My best attempts at ignoring it have fallen short, and believe me, I've tried. My cell rings and Dr. Elmendorf's name flashes on the screen. The steady beat of my heart turns into a heavy thump. I'm so shaken I forget to answer, standing there paralyzed by anticipation while the phone continues to ring.
"Shouldn't you get that?"
His voice snaps me out of it. I look up and find Dane watching me curiously, an enviable calmness to him while I'm the complete opposite. My expression must say it all because he gently takes the phone from me and answers.
"Yes, this is her number."
"Uh-huh, she's right here."
Smiling, he hands it to me. "Hello," I croak, while I stare up at him unblinking. "Miss Donovan?" "Yes."
This is Dr. Elmendorf's nurse, Suzanne. She wanted to let you know that we have the results of your pregnancy test. Yes? I repeat robotically, while my eyes stay on the man smiling down at me. You're pregnant, Miss Donovan. The embryo transfer was a success. Dr. Elmendorf will call you first thing on Monday to discuss it with you, but she wanted you to know before the weekend. Thank you, I say in a strangled voice, after which I end the call. A slow, irrepressible smile stretches across my face, not unsimilar to the one Dane is wearing. I'm pregnant. He hauls me in for a big hug, arms holding me gently to him. Between my face wedged among his massive chest muscles, my air supply being cut off, and his body heat, it's akin to being buried alive under an electric blanket. I alternate between giggling like a preteen and breathing. Despite that, however, it feels good. So good I want to curl up in a ball with him wrapped around me. The giggling dies down and I look up to find him looking down at me. His smile slowly melts, and his gaze becomes a soft touch on my face, full of wonder and joy. The realization hits us at the same time. This is the beginning of the rest of our lives. He clears his throat and holds me away.
You mean we're pregnant?
There's that pesky we again. We're pregnant, I repeat, correcting myself with a smile I can't deny. And then he hugs me again.
Dane Jr.
No, absolutely not.
Should I be offended?
No. Sitting across from me at the distressed oak dining table, the father of my child frowns while he dumps more rice onto his mushu pork. After we paid for the hundreds of dollars worth of stuff that we don't need, Dane insisted we go to his place and order takeout. And when Dane insists, I've learned there's very little I can do to dissuade him. Turns out he lives in a beautifully restored brownstone in Greenwich Village. I expected a super modern apartment in the Time Warner building overlooking Columbus Circle, or a trendy loft in the meatpacking district. Not this. Nothing like this. For the first 10 minutes, I walk around, mouth agape. Distressed walnut floors and supersized dark blue couches, exposed red brick. He has a garden. An honest-to-goodness garden in the back. The large fireplace mantel covered with silver-framed family pictures was a personal favorite. Of him on horseback when he was in his teens, looking more like a movie star than most movie stars. On the football field, with his sister and his father. The walls of his office are covered with paraphernalia from all his achievements, and there are plenty. It would take days for me to study them all. And yet nothing in his house is too precious. Nothing sharp and dangerous. His home is comfortable and warm. Inviting. His home is homey. A lot homier than mine. Picturing my child growing up here makes suspicious heat crowd my chest and my throat swell. The dim light highlights his sharp cheekbones, his lashes casting shadows on them. He really is beautiful. I'm not blind. I get why women lose their shit over him. And I'm having a child with this man. The thought keeps circulating in my head. It's been almost 3 months since we embarked on this journey together, and I have yet to hear him mention anyone he's dating. A large part of me wishes he would. It would put a swift end to all the cozy feelings growing between us. The rest of me doesn't want to know. A sneaking suspicion tells me that finding out that he is dating someone will hurt, and that would be a tragedy. Because going through life pining for the father of my child would make me my mother. And everything I've done up until now to prevent that from happening would be all for naught. What about Penelope for a girl, I suggest. We've been playing the name game for the last 20 minutes, grinning at each other like two loons.
It's a boy. I can feel it.
I disagree. However, I won't rain on his parade tonight. What about Jacob? Jacob William Donovan Wilder. His greenish eyes flash with excitement. He blinks.
William?
For your father. That's his name, right?
Yeah, I just didn't.
Your father means everything to you. Dane remains quiet, no smile in sight.
And Jacob?
For Ira's son. He died young. Ira's like a father to me. I thought...
I like Jacob,
he says before I can finish. He licks his bottom lip and my eyes automatically drop to them. He has beautiful lips. Full in the middle and yet not so full that they look pouty. His mouth kicks up on one side, and I know I just got caught staring. And if it's a girl? I tease, trying to play it off. Fat chance, Dane's no dummy.
Jacob William Donovan Wilder,
he casually repeats, after which he goes back to inhaling his food. Dane?
Yeah?
He looks up with a touch of alarm.
What is it, babe?
Babe? I let it slide because I'm high on life right now and don't want to throw a cold, wet blanket on the mood. You know, the first few months are risky. I can have a miscarriage. You can't tell anyone for at least 3 months until we know for sure. Eyes bright, he nods a little too quickly for it to be convincing. I mean it, Dane. Shoveling more mushu into his mouth, I hear,
3 months. Got it.
I point my chopsticks at him and give my best Mercedes Donovan death glare. And don't call me babe.
Okay, shorty.
Dane. I'm having a baby, I announce into the phone. Then, placing it against my chest, I catch the shop lady's attention. 5 dozen roses, the good kind. What do you suggest?
A baby?
My pops echoes back, his voice loud and bursting with doubt. Stella's pregnant.
Excuse me for prying, but who the heck is Stella?
When my pop starts dropping G's, it's a clear sign he's getting mad. Hold on a minute, Dad. Phone against my chest again, the florist lady pulls out a pretty purple rose, handing it to me.
How about the moody blue, she says.
Moody blue? Huh. Unique. Like Stella. A purple rose?
It's considered lavender,
shop lady informs me. Give me the prettiest ones you got and deliver them here. I hand her Stella's address. Make it 8 dozen. The florist nods, blushing when I gift her with a smile. I've been so goddamn happy since we got the call, I've been doling them out right and left. Smiles, that is. We're having a baby, and there isn't a single part of me that harbors any doubts about it. A voice in the back of my mind keeps telling me it's because I'm doing it with someone I trust. Someone I know won't let me down, won't walk out when things get tough. Someone who's been giving me some serious boners lately. Jesus H., what an inconvenience. I had to run out of there the other day, otherwise she would have noticed. And the last thing I need is for her to get upset at me because I get hard for her. We're having a baby together. My dick needs to stay out of this. Placing the cell back at my ear, I hand the woman a credit card. Dad, you there?
What in Sam L. is going on, Dane? Who is this Stella?
My lady. Lie number one. No way is dear old Dad gonna understand our contractual agreement. We've been dating for the last 3 months. Lie number two. Dang, this feels terrible. It's not in my nature to lie. First, too much work trying to keep track of them. Second, there's nothing I won't tell a person to their face, therefore no need. It was an accident, but we're both real happy about it. Not really a lie, the last part being entirely true. The silence worries me. My pops is never silent, which means he knows something's afoot.
Are you messing with me?
Huh? Why would I mess with you? Of course I'm not messing with you. More silence.
Then my prayers have been answered.
His voice cracks. My father's voice cracks like he's crying. Fuck me. An elephant is suddenly sitting on my chest. The only other time I've heard or seen my father cry was when I won my first Super Bowl. And even then, it was only a couple of tears. I walk away from the counter and look out the store window, running a hand through my hair. Dad, you okay? He sniffs, and my chest practically caves in on itself.
Never better. Never better, son.
Can I call you later? I'm buying flowers, I murmur.
Do what you gotta do, and make sure you get her the good ones.
A smile creeps across my face. Will do. I'll call you later. I end the call and turn to find the salesperson staring up at me with a soft smile.
Would you like to send a note?
A note. Of course, a note.
Stella, are you trying to corner the purple rose market? Standing in my doorway, Delia lifts her black designer sunglasses and sets them atop her head. The floral delivery guy walks past her and into my apartment. Can you put those in the living room, please? I tell him, seeing as there's nowhere else to put them. My apartment is filled to the brim with roses. The most spectacular roses I've ever seen. My stupid, foolish heart skipped a beat the minute I opened the door and realized what was happening. Delia pushes past the delivery man who's presently walking out my front door. She does a double take, craning her neck to get a better look when she realizes how cute the guy is.
Hello, I hear her mutter.
Isn't he a little young for you? I whisper, cute delivery man falling somewhere in the early 20s range.
As long as he's legal, I don't discriminate.
I lead her into the living room while cute delivery man goes to retrieve yet another vase from his truck. Delia looks around with a snarky smile.
He's like Prince of the NFL.
I have a hankering to listen to Purple Rain. Lavender. Moody blues, to be exact. I inform her with a smile. Smirking, she gives me the universal hand gesture for a penis massage. And I think they're stunning.
What did the note say?
Plucking it off one of the vases, I hand it to her. As she reads, her lips twitch and her eyebrows rise.
Thank you for being so cool.
She glances up and chuckles.
Well, nobody's mistaking him for Lord Byron.
It's impossible to wipe the smile off my face. Delia shakes her head in disappointment.
You got that sappy look on your face, and don't tell me it's the hormones.
I do not have a sappy look on my face. We're friends. It was sweet of him to send the flowers. All is copacetic. The integrity of my contract has not been compromised in any way. Delia studies me closely.
This is never a good thing.
What?
You guys are all over the gossip sites.
All amusement immediately drops off my face. What? She retrieves her cell phone and types.
Caught in a sexy embrace at Bye Bye Baby, Wildman Dane Wilder is officially off the market.
After reading out loud, she holds up her iPhone for my benefit. On the screen is a picture of Dane wrapped around me. We're smiling at each other. The kind of smiles exchanged by people in an intimate relationship. People that care about each other.
You didn't compromise the integrity of your contract.
You blew a hole through it large enough to fit a Mack truck. Shit.